China MSG. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for listening to China MSG. I'm David Tan, and this is another minisode. First, I want to say Happy New Year. Happy Chinese New Year to everybody. The year of the goat, sheep, ram. I also want to let you know about our Facebook page. It's Facebook, of course, China MSG. You can find us there. You can download our podcast. You can like us there. And please share with anybody you know that might like our podcast. And you can check us out at podomatic.com. Search China MSG and download our podcast there. Today, I want to tell you a story about my first entrepreneurial venture in China. This happened in 2008 in Beijing. And a little part of Beijing called Wudaoko. It's a student area. Most people are younger, either undergrads or graduate students. A couple English teachers, a lot of Americans, British, Europeans, mostly German, and Koreans. But with all that, Wudaoko is a very culturally diverse place. A lot of excitement, a lot of good energy going on. Everybody's there to experience China in different ways. Wudaoko as a scene is a place of many little cafes, bars, different kind of eateries, international food places. Pizza at Kung Fu Pizza. You can find a nice American burger owned by a New Zealander at Lush Cafe. You can find a nice little cafe over at Tu Le Ju, which is a Korean brand. A bookstore on the corner, and find all kinds of other small little places. Wudaoko is a busy place, a lot of international students. Wudaoko is also in the vicinity of the two best universities in China, Beijing University and Tsinghua University. So you find and meet some of the most intelligent grads and undergrads that China is producing these days. So it's a very interesting, very culturally diverse place to be. That's during the day. At night, Wudaoko transforms into also a college hangout. You'll find a lot of young people at these said bars, Lush, or the cafes for a open mic night or a jam sessions or trivia night or any kind of other, you know, after hours bar activity. I think they have beer pong. And there's also a nightclub around there called Propaganda. Many good late nights, you know, spent there partying until the wee hours of the morning, drinking 20 kuai qingdaos, and they have great hip-hop nights. But with that, there's a lot of extra business, a lot of extra nightlife activities that are going on in Wudaoko. Not only just the, you know, the bars, the cafes, the people talking until, you know, wee hours of the morning about different things. There's the beer garden that opens up just in the summers where they have, you know, draft Yanjing or Qingdao beers. Get a nice big mug of it, German style, big 500 to 700 ml mug of beer for, you know, maybe 20 RMB. And, you know, just sit out there with your new friends and just talk until wee hours of the morning eating snacks or whatever. And that's the other thing that Wudaoko really has. At night, they have snacks galore, or they had snacks galore. Again, I'm talking from 2008 when I was there. You would have street vendors on the roads just selling, you know, food to the bar goers, the cafe goers. There's different kind of snacks. There's barbecue kebabs and vegetables and squid, which is a big favorite for the Chinese. Different kind of noodle dishes. Probably about a dozen different vendors all out on this intersection where the bars and cafes are located. And one of the most popular Beijing snacks at night is called jianbing. Everybody has a tricycle. One wheel in the front, two wheels in back. And on this tricycle has like a little wagon compartment, maybe 1.5 meters by about 1 meter. And they build a canopy or a cover on it so they can house their vegetables or whatever they're going to use for cooking whatever they're going to make. And jianbing is one of those. It's on a tricycle. There's a canopy on back. And in the canopy, there's either coal or gas-fueled furnace with a steel or iron flat skillet on top of it, maybe about 20 inches round or 22 inches round. And they put this batter on it, they flatten it out, and they cook it up with egg, cilantro, scallions, a thin, crispy cracker kind of thing, with lettuce. They wrap it up, and you have a jianbing. So about 50 cents U.S., and it is the best drunk food snack, cheap, that you can get in Beijing. Well, the first time I saw this, you know, I always had the idea that this metal top would be the best thing for quesadillas. You know, quesadillas, the Mexican crispy, cheesy, meaty, with sour cream, fold over things with salsa. In 2008, I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to make myself quesadillas on the side of the road with all the Chinese street vendors at Wu Dao Co. And that's what I'm going to do. Now, where did I get this idea? The idea was simple. I mean, you looked at it, you saw quesadillas. I think everybody saw a quesadilla. I think everybody just said, yeah, that'd be cool, but nobody wanted to do it because who wants to sell street food in Beijing? But my inspiration actually came from somebody who did that. During my stay in Beijing, a friend of mine met a woman named Hong Ying. Hong Ying, she's a person and a company. As a person, in her early 20s, she did not want to work for a big company. She didn't want to sit at a desk. She didn't want to work for bosses, have to show up on time, all the other things. Didn't say she was lazy, just said that that wasn't for her. So she decided to do something else. She had a passion for fashion and clothes. So she said, hey, I'm gonna sell bags and purses. How am I going to sell bags and purses? Well, I don't have any money. I'm not going to open a store. I can't afford that. I can't build something. So I'm going to take my bags, my purses. I'm going to grab a blanket, put it down on the street, and sell it there. Well, she did. She sat down on the street and sold her bags. Well, her bags were good. Her sister was working with her, designing the bags. They made the bags. They sold the bags. And eventually, they bought their first store, bought their second store. And then they bought their third store. And now Hong Ying, the company, has about 40-plus stores in Beijing area. Now, I don't know if she's outside of Beijing, but when I was there, she was always growing in Beijing. She does clothing now, women's clothing, different fashions, different for different seasons with accessories. She still does bags. And it's one of those inspirational stories of somebody that said, you know what, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do it the best way I can for the means that I have. And they were successful doing it. Now, of course, we don't want to get caught up in everybody can go out to the streets and become successful. But it's one of those success stories that is very inspirational. It's almost as if it's an American story. It's those stories that you hear when you're growing up as an American. This person did this with no money, and now they're a multi-million or multi-billion dollar company. And, you know, when you hear that in China, and the misconceptions that sometimes that people have about what China is and what you can do in China, it's one of those stories that you say, you know what, it's an amazing time to be in China. With that story, I said, you know what, I'm going to try it out. I can do this. And at the time, I was only working in the mornings, so I had time to try something else. And I hate sitting at home watching TV all day or just going out to cafes, so let's be creative, let's learn something. So I'm going to make quesadillas. So the first thing I had to do was to build my quesadilla bike. So I didn't know how to do this, so I found the place to buy it. So I bought an actual bike. The bike cost me about 300 RMB, about 50 US dollars, to buy this tricycle. Now this tricycle was bare bones, nothing going on. There was no electric motor, which most of them have now. But mine was just a pedal bike. And now I had to buy this canopy to put on the back. I had to source all the equipment, like the steel metal surface to cook on and to just outfit it the way I need it for my quesadillas. So there's this whole learning curve of going to these markets, hanging out with these Chinese people, sit and talk with these street vendors to say, where did you get this? How much did it cost? Where can I get a canopy? Do you know a guy? Get those numbers and actually get these contacts and start meeting all these people just to build a cart for the side of the road. Now, you know, it wasn't the most expensive thing, you know, and I know a lot of people probably are in business and say, hey, you know what, yeah, you have to do that with everything. But to do it from a grassroots kind of bottom-up level, it was a very interesting experience. It wasn't just saying, hey, you know, I'm going to call this contractor or this supplier for this food and this contractor for these materials. I have to call this guy that happens to make this and these people that happen to have this and tell them that I know the guy who sells the squid on the side of the road. He said that you made his canopy for him for his bike, and he said yes I did, so let's go do yours. So I found all these people, all these contacts, and we ended up building my bike vending machine, if you will. Altogether, this cost me about 2,300 RMB, so about $300 at the time. The next part was I had to find the food. Now in China at that time, at least, it was very hard to get a couple items. Tortillas, for one. Cheese. You just didn't see those in China. They just weren't popular. So I had to find them. And luckily, there's a Walmart. There's a Walmart that opened up. I think there was one in the city at that time. And I don't know if they were successful or not. I think they might have closed later on. But the one Walmart did carry cheese. It was an American brand of yellow cheddar, about $4. So it was a hell of a deal. So I found the cheese. The tortillas, I went to a foreign food store that sold the tortillas and found a number of the supplier on the back. Now, the supplier on the back was an interesting story in itself because it was a man and a woman who made the tortillas from their home in Beijing. The man and the woman lived in the States for a while, loved Mexican food, or Tex-Mex, loved the idea of the concept and said, you know what, I'm going to make these tortillas to provide these materials for foreigners or for Chinese that want to make Mexican food in China. So the woman, she made herself a business making these tortillas, and the tortillas were reasonably priced. Some days I would order these tortillas from the woman. The guy would come and drive out to my house, drop them off, and they would still be warm. Fresh tortillas every day for my quesadillas. Now the cheese was another thing. I also found the number on the back of the cheese, which was super lucky. Who does this anymore? I don't think anybody does. And called them. The supplier of the cheese said, hey, I have a lot of this cheese, but it has gone past the date we can sell it in the stores. Everybody knows cheese doesn't go bad, so just buy it, and as long as it doesn't turn green or anything, it's still good to eat. None of it turned green. It was still in the packages. It was closed properly, sealed properly, airtight. The only thing that was wrong was it was past the date, maybe by actually a week or two. So I got a great deal on the cheese. I got 500 grams of cheese, which is about a pound of cheese, yellow cheddar from the States, imported for 10 RMB, which is about $1.30 at the time. Lettuce, tomatoes, make my own homemade salsa, sour cream. I made my own sour cream. So now I have my bike. I have my materials. One thing I've always thought about street food, it was always looking a little dirty. So I'm going to look clean. I'm going to have proper containers, clean containers. I'm going to wash everything every day. I'm going to make everything fresh. My quesadilla cart is going to be clean. And I am going to sell Coronas with limes because that's awesome. And chips and salsa. So time went by and I got all my things together. And I had my quesadilla tricycle at my house over in Shangdi. Shangdi is a bit of a ways away from Wudaoco. And I had to ride this tricycle with this canopy on it all the way to Wudaoco, which is probably a good 5-6 kilometers away, and park it over there and go out every night. So what I would do is I would prep the food at my house. Actually, let me tell you my day. My day would be like this after I started selling the quesadillas. Is I would get up in the morning around 7 o'clock, coffee, and out to classes. I was teaching English at the time at Beijing Foreign Studies University. I would be in my first class at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'd teach from 8 to 12. Then from 12, I would eat lunch and then go to Walmart and to the different markets, the fresh markets, to buy my chicken and my produce to make my salsa and my shredded lettuce and my sour cream or whatever I needed for the day. I'll get home around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, take a nap until 6, eat dinner, and then start prepping until I had to leave around 9:30, 10 o'clock. I would put all my stuff in a carry-in bags, put it on my moped, ride into Wudaoco, set up my quesadilla machine, my quesadilla tricycle, ride my quesadilla tricycle from where I was parking it, which was about 500 meters away, to where my spot was, and set up my quesadillas, and usually try to sell from 10 to 10:30 to 2:30 or so. Finding the spot was another interesting part. As you can imagine, if everybody's doing business on the street, everybody has their spots. And there's good spots and there's bad spots. Of course, the spot right in front of the nightclub was a good spot. So I tried to go over there, and well, let's just say that spot's mafia, maybe the 5 or 6 guys that made the barbecue kebabs on the side of the road, they would not let me there. There was the guy across the street that had the corner for the jianbing. Well, he would not let me anywhere near him. Across the road from him, there was a guy with a squid. And, well, he was actually very nice. And he said, you know what? You can go a couple meters away from me and set up over there. So it turned out to be perfect for me. But, okay, well, it wasn't the corner I wanted. It was the corner I wanted after I saw all the other corners were taken. And it turned out to be okay. I still got the club crowd. Well, selling the quesadillas, there was a lot of things to consider. The setup time, the cook time, and to be honest, I got a little nervous. It was my first time doing this. I'm on the side of the road. Cops are always a big deal. Wait, let me go back to cops. There's different kind of cops here. There's the police, and then there's the economic police, we'll call them. Or the city administration police. The city administration police, or Chengguan, I don't know the actual English translation, are the people that come and grab your bicycles or tricycles for selling your goods on the side of the road and put them into their car and take them away forever. You can't get them back because what you're doing is illegal. You're illegally selling stuff without a license on the side of the road, making money, not paying taxes, and they will come and grab your stuff and take it and you're done. or they might even take you. Smash your things up so you can't use them again. Spill your products on the ground. Just burn your wares or whatever. Whatever it is, you can't, you're not going to get it back. So that was one concern, which was a very real concern. There have been many nights where I was outside. They would inform me when the Chungguan or these economic police were coming. And we would get on our bikes and try to get out of there as fast as we could and run away from the police. And I was there in the middle of the pack or at the end of the pack, running with the other Chinese street sellers away from these economic police that are jumping out of their vans to try to catch people on their bicycles, pull them off their bicycles, take their bicycles and put them in the back of a flat truck, a flatbed pickup truck, to take them away to be demolished. So a couple of nights, yes, we had to run away. Somebody would yell, you know, Zo, or get out of here. And we would just hop on the bikes, we'd stop everything we're doing. There was no packing things up. You had to have a system where if they were coming, you knew how to put things into your cart fast enough so you don't miss anything, but you honestly have about 5 to 10 seconds to put everything away, stop what you're doing, get on your bike, and start going away. Because these guys come fast, they get out, and they used to destroy everything. The other thing is you have to remember, it was 2008 was the beginning of the Olympics. Beijing was getting ready for it. Not only did they move every homeless person out of the city, they built cities outside of Beijing and moved the people that were homeless or street beggars from the city of Beijing out to these makeshift communities for these homeless, so Beijing could look like they didn't have any problems. Also, for the prep of the Olympics, they gave every building in Beijing a new facade, new signs, and this was paid for by the government. Another way they were cleaning up the city was they were taking care of all this illegal business on the streets. So myself and the squid guy and the jianbing guy all had to be off the streets for Beijing. So they were coming down very hard, and they were not being very lenient with us. So maybe not the best time to start this business, but I started it anyway. So selling my first quesadilla with all these other things in my mind, there was the production of them, the speed of them, and the demands of the customers. I really didn't anticipate all that, so I learned throughout the weeks of doing it. A lot of people were very appreciative. A lot of people just came for a cheese quesadilla because they haven't had cheese in so long, and after drinking at a bar or coming from a club, that's what they wanted. They wanted a cheese quesadilla. Some people just came for the chips and salsa. Some say, hey, your Corona is a lot cheaper than they have in the bar. I'm going to drink a couple Corona out here and then go into the bar and then come back out and drink a couple Corona. And other people just, you know, took the whole thing. I had one time that I had to make 8 quesadillas for the whole crew because that's their new bar munchy food. Give me 8 quesadillas and I'm going to take these home to go. It was a lot of fun. At the end, I made about maybe 25,000 RMB off of the whole thing. At the time, about 3,500 bucks. Hong Ying was also in the Wudao area. She had a store there. So she would come by and get a quesadilla every once in a while, of course, on the house. Another cool thing came from it. She asked us to cater her company party from the quesadilla cart. The company party was about a couple hundred people, and we had to have enough quesadillas for everybody. So it was like a Mexican-themed party. We had chips and salsa and sangria, and we had fiesta wear and hats and whatever, all those kind of stuff. And then I had my quesadilla cart outside of the company, and people would line up and grab quesadillas. We had a little problem when we were doing the quesadillas from the streets, though, when it was free for the party, because we would have passersby just start standing in line for free food, which we didn't notice that they were passersby until probably halfway through the party, and then we had almost no food left. So we didn't anticipate that would happen, because who does that? Just stand in line and get free food, especially since there's no sign that says free food, please stand in line. They just started standing in line. Next thing you know, they had free food and they're walking away, which, you know, if it went to deserving people, that's great. I hope, well, we ran out of food for the party, but it was worth it. It was a lot of fun. That is the story of my first entrepreneurial venture in China, on the streets of Beijing. It was a lot of fun. Maybe I was too old to be doing that, but it was definitely a lot of fun, a great learning experience. And I never looked back and said, you know what, I wish I didn't do that, or it was stupid, or I feel embarrassed, because some people would be embarrassed by just having a street cart. Why are you in China doing that? You're a beggar, you're a bum. And half of me wants to do it again. It was an amazing experience to talk to people, to connect on people on a different level, to see their reactions and the hospitality of the Chinese people to a foreigner that wanted to do that. was just kind of actually amazing. It was very warming. It was a warm group of people that knew that you just wanted to do business, that you want to do something, and you're out there with them for the same reasons they were there: to make money, to not work for a boss, to not punch a clock, and to do your own thing. The squid person, which I actually got very close with, we text messaged and called quite a bit after I stopped doing the cart once the Olympics started. I had to stop because the Olympics started, and honestly, if we got caught, we would be in jail until the Olympics were over, and that's something we didn't want to do. But I got really close with him. He was actually a college graduate, and he just didn't want to work for a company. I don't know if that was the smartest thing for him to do. And he kept on going from job to job, trying to do his own thing. He wanted to do the squid thing. Then he wanted to do the kebab thing. He just wanted to learn. He wanted to get out there. I guess I don't know what his background was before this, if he had money or no money, or if he had the means to do this. But he just loved being out there, doing his own thing, and learning from these different people. Anyway, that's my story. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to the podcast today. The two songs we heard today were from one of my favorite albums, Buena Vista Social Club. The songs were called De Camino a la Verida and, okay, I'm just calling a Spanish person. Give me a second.
Hola, David.
Hey, how you doing? Can you do me a favor and say the songs that was in my podcast today?
Hemos escuchado De Camino a la Vereda y El Cuarto de Tula de Buena Vista Social Club.
Thank you.
De nada.
All right, well, that was our podcast, and enjoy the rest of the song.
De Alto Cedro voy para Marcané, llego a Puerto, voy para Mayarí.
China. Boop, 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 MSG.